Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. Welcome to this wonderful topic on this podcast, Firing the Imagination Through Play. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age appropriate or ahead of age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. And don't forget to look at the show notes below for resources on this topic. There are a number of specific techniques that we use in auditory verbal therapy to instill the habit of listening and talking in our children who are deaf or hard of hearing. We refer to these techniques as auditory verbal techniques or AV techniques. Sabotage is one of them, where we deliberately scuttle a situation to provoke the child to do something or say something in accordance with a planned goal or target. Hopefully, this will help you follow our discussion in this episode better when you hear us refer to the AV technique, sabotage. Modeling is another really useful auditory verbal technique where we present our deaf or hard of hearing child with the complete language pattern, whether it's a question, a statement, the use of a vocabulary word or a concept, we present it in its entirety, offering our child the opportunity to listen and imitate. I trust this will help you as you listen in to the conversation. The literature is full of data presenting the importance of play in the development of a young child. But at what age do we begin play? How do we even engage a young child in play? Or is it something that happens spontaneously? How can we support our little toddler as she plays? If these are some of the questions you wonder about and are struggling with, this episode is for you. As I welcome an inspirational couple from Kosovo into this conversation. Not only are they devoted to their little toddler, who is just shy of her second birthday at this point in time, but they are devoted to each other. And I thank them for allowing me to share a part of their life with me and with all of you listening in, because they are very private people and prefer to remain unnamed.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I take a helicopter, for example, and then say that it's going up or it's flying, and I do Then we go, for example, at the chair or the table, and I put it down, but I keep talking while I'm doing it. And then,
so what exactly do you say at that point when you say you keep talking?
I explain.
Maybe she's taking a Lego man or Lego woman. We are putting on the helicopter. We are sending her somewhere or bringing back something like this.
That's perfect. Sure. The point I'm trying to make is that we present her with an idea. Okay, so maybe she's just playing around in a very repetitive way. Then we plant the seed of the helicopter going to up into maybe to a mountain top or whatever. But the point is to think about how you can keep that play going rather than it just ending, for example, in the aeroplane going up to the mountain and coming down. So that's what I wanted to explore just now with you, that you put, as you said, you put the one person who may be the pilot. And I would use that word. So this is the pilot coming into the plane. And now this plane is, this helicopter is taking off and it's going far away up onto that mountain. Oh, look, what can you see below? Ooh, can you see anything? Now, maybe she'll say the sofa. Okay, because it's right in front of her. That's fine. Take that idea. Say, yeah, I can see the sofa too. But you know what? Because we're so high up, it's so small. What I'm saying, keep the conversation going through the play. Because that is how we fire imagination. Now,
the thing is that we are every time trying to make her also speak. I don't like we are speaking and then waiting for her reaction, but
that's perfect. We should wait.
It's not that we are getting that every time that we want.
So I think we should do it more.
I'm telling her every time, but she refuses me. She is just telling me ick is like go away.
She's smart. Maybe. She's figured it out. She knows, but that when, this gives her more time with mom, no? That's what she wants.
Maybe that.
But I think that's very sweet. But do persist with the play, right? Because it'll open up a lot of doors for her. And it'll take time, okay? So it's not going to happen in 1 week. Okay.
And
sure enough, in typical fashion, these parents followed up diligently. And here we are, 4 months later, revisiting the development of play in their toddler, who by this point is approximately 2 years, 3 months of age. Thank you for sending across these play sequences between your little one and her cousin. If you were to reflect on how they play together, what would be your observations?
Well, I don't understand.
They're playing with the kitchen set and they're making toast together and, you know, whatever they're doing. They're serving a meal and stuff like that, which is wonderful. Yeah, that is really wonderful. But what would be your thoughts on that, about how we can take her forward?
I think they are still doing parallel playing, just to know.
Which is fine, because, because she's still not 3 years old.
They interact a little bit, but not so much. But where she is with me, she interacts. She, for example, asks me to... I would ask you how to make her she should lead the game.
My comment to you would be, even when you're playing with her versus when she's playing with her cousin, steer away from being purely factual. Because we have played that kind of a routine for long enough now. You know, if, for example, if we're making toast, so let's take the bread and put it in the toaster and then have you got the butter ready or whatever it is. Okay? It's very much a factual sequence that we are following, which is excellent up till now because she didn't have that in place. But now she has that in place. How are we going further? How are we going to take her further?
I think maybe we should leave them play on their own without telling them what to do or something like that.
I agree. But suppose nothing happens, then?
Also, sometimes she imagined, for example.
Exactly. Well done.
Imagine, for example, what she's doing is she takes something else and she's doing like I let her because I've read that that's why how kids, for example, she takes a spoon and she's talking on the phone. Also now these days she's imagining, for example, they sit on the couch. They cook lunch. There is
no sweet
way they're saying I'm
asking her what are we doing for
what
lunch.
What are doing as she's saying I put it.
We are doing potatoes or something like
that. She doesn't have any toys.
No, we don't have potatoes or nothing. We are just sitting in the bed.
Exactly.
I ask her, give me potatoes.
She pretends like
she's taking from somewhere and giving the. I tell her, oh no, we need you need to wash them first. Okay, she washes them. She wiped them and then gave them to me. And then I told her, okay, I have to cut them now. And I start with the hand. And she says, wait, here is the knife. She's giving me the knife. I am cutting the potato, putting it in a bowl or in a pan. And then I ask her, what should we put now? Sometimes she don't know, or I tell her we need to put water now. She puts water. I ask her, should we put salt? She said yes. And after salt, she said the pepper now.
Oh, fantastic!
Okay. Also the pepper. She does like this, like
she's
grinding the pepper. She's grinding the pepper, and then when we put it in the oven or somewhere, she's waiting. But she's not waiting very long.
Not enough.
Just waiting some seconds, and she said, saying, "It's ready now." And today I tell her, "Wait, it's hot. You cannot take it." And she just wait. I'm pretending like I'm taking something to pick it up, and then she said, "We should blow it, like to
cool
it." Yes, I'm telling her, yes, blow it. And then I ask her, give me the plates. She's getting the plates, like pretending.
In imagination.
It's imagination. She's putting the potatoes on the plate, taking the spoons or the forks. And I told her, I have my plate, you have yours. And the other one, for who is, she says, it's for mom, something like
that. I think that's the best. What you're doing is absolutely fantastic. And it's exactly what we want to do. We want to stimulate and encourage that imagination. What I am suggesting this week, because in any case, she's ahead of age, even though she's still not 3 years yet. What I'm suggesting is let's go further with that imagination. Let's introduce a disaster. So, for example, if going with this example of potatoes, if she says, you know, you ask her, what are we having for dinner tonight? And she says, potato. You say, oh, I'm fed up with potatoes. I've had potatoes yesterday, the day before. Let's have something new. Or when she's made the potatoes, ask her, do you like them? And she may say, yeah. And you say, I think they're too salty, or I don't like these potatoes today. You know what I'm saying? Deliberately be difficult or turn the situation on its head. Because then, right there and then, we have to come up with a solution. And I bet she will, very creatively, given her track record so far.
Just to know where she stands also. We started to play like we are. We go.
Also with a card.
Weekend, yes, on a shopping mall. It's a big place and she likes riding the bicycle. And it's like a little bit like a routine for 2-3 hours. So, for example, now she is asking us, okay, let's go to drive. We sit and we do like we are driving. Then she say, hey, come with me. She has a balloon and she goes to elevator. She forgot something. So I say, hey, push the button. And then she's saying, like the door is open.
Yeah, close.
Go.
Speaking the sound.
Yeah. So she, for example, closed the door of the room and she was waiting like this. Then she opens the door of the room again and she goes out, like she's going out to the elevator. Then I'm saying, okay, where we will go? She was saying, for example, a dinosaur. So she wants to go to like a dinosaur. And also when we sleep.
So 1 minute before we get off this topic.
Yes.
So again, what I would say, introduce the unexpected. So she goes, and the door is open. And you say, and she says,
open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's excellent. Door got stuck. Yeah. What are we going to do? You know, that's excellent.
Yes. I because we do it for very different situation, because I think call the handyman or how to say.
Yeah, handyman.
And she calls, hello, handyman. Is something, for example, in
the light is broken.
Oh, sweet.
It's
not working because I'm making some calls with the handyman, and now she's making these calls. And the next thing, we should. Change the routine of
or
by making, for example, saying, oh, the dino is not here, for example.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Oh, we've got off on the wrong floor.
Yeah.
You know, be a disruptor.
Yes, yes.
So that we are then always evolving the same thing. So, for example, if we're making coffee one day, we can, you know, pretend that, oh, gosh, the coffee is spilled.
Yes.
You know, and of course, all in pretend play. Or if she says, okay, let's make coffee, say, that's a very good idea. And then you go and she opens the cupboard and she pretends to take out the coffee and say, oh, I forgot to tell you. We don't have any coffee in the house. I forgot to get it.
Yes.
And wait and see what she does. You know what I mean?
Yes, it does. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, we do time to time, because I'm saying, for example, the coffee is spilled or something. She goes and take the something to
the mop, yeah. But what I'm saying is the reason we should do it is, of course, exactly as you say, because we are stimulating her imagination, therefore her cognition. But what's fantastic is that it's the theme is the same. We're going up in the elevator, but this time we get off on the wrong floor. Maybe tomorrow we're going up in the elevator, but that day the doors don't open. So it's a completely different situation. It's a completely different play sequence, even though the theme may start out by being the same.
Yes, and I think she started pretty young, because she started this doing some imagination.
Yes,
I think yes, before maybe 3 months or something. Also, when we play, she makes different situations.
She's definitely ahead on lots of
things. We should do just once, for example, and then she will do it. For example, she throws a girl, a Lego girl, and she's saying, for example, oh, she turned the leg. Let's.
But, lovely.
What I do is we read some books when we go to sleep, and then I turn off the light, and she will ask me to. She asked me to tell some story. She will say, tell me, Leila, there are some imaginary
characters.
And some are real. Some are real. And for example, she interacts. For example, I say, oh, Lisa and mom and dad and some imaginary friends went to the, for example, shopping center, and they met their another friend. And for example, sometimes I I change the story, and she said, she's saying, "Oh dear, that's a friend, dearly false." And she asked me, for example, she makes questions, or she
will,
she will keep telling the story by herself. Then I add something. So until she sleeps, she's just
always inventing.
Yes, we are inventing some. And if I, for example, sometimes I say something not correct, I see that she, even that she's sleeping, she is saying, "Oh no, it's dad, not mom." For example, just an example. So when we tell this story, everything is.
She is concentrated.
Is not real, so I'm just keep. Telling.
So I would even try something like this the next morning, say, "Do you know you were fast asleep and you were dreaming?" And she'll look at you and say, "Huh?" Say, inside your head, the story of, you know, when we were playing in the mall and this happened, because you were talking and you said this. Is that what happened? And you can go back through your conversation and revisit the play. You know what I mean? While she's eating breakfast.
Yeah.
So this is fantastic. Just go with it. And so the conversations continue. Thank you so much for your interest and time and for listening into this episode all the way to the end. I hope you enjoyed it, because I thought it was an absolute delight. The one message I'd like to leave you with is, as you play with your child, move away from realistic routines into the flights of fantasy. And once you open up those doors, you'll be surprised by how quickly your child grabs those ideas and flies with them, so that you can fly together through the world of play. Coming up next on this podcast is another wonderful topic, reading beyond words. Don't miss it. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Shefali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.